Morning, church. Shalom. Welcome to church. So please have a seat. And very good to have all of you back. And for those of you who are joining us online, we are also very happy to have you. This is our fifth service for this weekend. This has been a very busy weekend. But so good to have all of you join us for our communion weekend. As you know, communion is a time when the family reconnects with one another over a sacred meal over the table of the Lord. Now, before I do any more, I want to actually take this time to honor those among us who are in the teaching profession, all right? You're a teacher, whether it is in school or in tuition or in any other capacity, you're someone who teaches us. We want to honor you. We want to pray for you today. Could you just wave your hands so that we may acknowledge your presence? Anyone here who are teachers, all right? Yes, I see a few, right? At the back, there are quite a lot of teachers. Upstairs are also teaching. Okay, quite a few of you. So, praise the Lord. We are, you know, teaching is such an important profession. It used to be that in Singapore, that most of the teachers in school were actually Christians, statistically. But this is no longer true, right? So, some of you who are younger and you're thinking about your jobs, you know, please consider teaching. It is a very important. It's more than just giving information to a next generation. It is also passing on values, and it is also being a role model for them, right? So it is a very high calling, very important calling, and a heavy responsibility. I'm well aware that teachers often have to make great sacrifices. You know, my wife is a teacher in a special needs school. My mom is a teacher. I was a teacher anyway before she retired. And my dad also started out as a teacher. So, you know, teachers all around in my life. And I guess I'm also a kind of teacher, right? So, you know, I'm familiar with this. And I know in teaching profession, sometimes you can't always do what you love to do because you end up having to write reports, do your paperwork, and so on and so forth, all your documentation. Nevertheless, it is a very worthy calling. And we are grateful that you have chosen to walk that path, to make those sacrifices, and not just you, but your families as well. So we want to pray for you, right? We want to pray that God will give the strength to continue in this calling. So I want to invite all of you, would you just bow your heads as we pray a blessing over the teachers in our midst. Father, we want to lift up this good man and woman in our community, in our church, who are serving in this vocation and answering the call for teachers, for teaching. Father, we want to pray especially that you will water their wells. You not let them run dry. Even though it is a very demanding and challenging work, challenging occupation, Father, we pray that you always give them the joy and you continue to fan the flame of their zeal for teaching, their passion for teaching, that they will be able to have the privilege of seeing the good fruits of their labor. May you give them the joy of seeing, you know, the seeds that they plant bloom into well-watered trees. So, Father, we want to pray for all our teachers. May you more than return to them all that they have sacrificed. May you continue to help them, not just to teach, but to be such a role model and a light of Christ wherever you have put them. So, we pray for our teachers. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Okay, thank you, teachers. Once again, happy Teachers' Day for you. Now, in our midst recently, there have been quite a lot of young adult couples who have joined the ranks of parenthood, you know. Some of our staff, younger staff members, also newly minted parents. And so, we are welcoming them to the reality of having no sleep, right? Because you suddenly realize that young children got no time zone. They will wake up anytime, you know. They're hungry, they cry. They want to carry, they cry. They're lonely, they cry. You know, pretty much welcome to life. That's why we didn't tell you about this before. Because otherwise, nobody want to have children, right? But among those people who have recently become parents is actually a couple who attended our church some years back. You know, they were in Singapore, and this was a Japanese couple, Kazumi and Motomo. Some of you may know them. And they got married about 4 years ago, and they were very desirous of having children and having this family. But because of age, the doctors were telling them that it is very unlikely that they will have any kind of normal pregnancy, right? So they came to Kuz. then they heard that in Coos, apparently there was some pastor who was praying for people to have kids and all that, right? So they came forward, they were prayed for, and it was a period of trusting the Lord. And recently, they just wrote to us that now they have kids. You know, we got some pictures. So we are very happy for Kazumi and our Motomo, right? In fact, Motomo is actually serving out his SHN. So he wants to visit the church. Now, you can read the story of their amazing journey and testimony. That's up in the Telegram group, okay? So if you're not in that group, just join the group. It's anonymous. You can just read the stories there. And there'll be other stories there as well because God is very good in our midst. Amen? Recently, PM Lee in his National Day rally, I don't know if you caught it, in the first few minutes of his speech, spoke about our Home Away From Home project, particularly this young lady, Ross, which is actually our partner. And of course, I was told by Ross' dad, which is pastor, Roslina's dad is actually a pastor. She was adopted by the pastor's family. So the dad, of course, partnered with us to do this Home Away From. He said that she kept telling them about Church of Our Savior, but they kept cutting out. So the newspaper, they just took out the name, but you know, we know, God knows, we give the Lord glory. Amen. So very, very glad. You guys did a great job. You know, stuff that we are doing is making waves in the country, goes all the way up to the PM's office. All right, so wonderful to have that. Okay, we're continuing in our series of Christ and Culture. And this is a series in which we are looking for practical applications of Christian principles that we derive from the Bible to be applied into our cultural context and challenges. Because so often, we hear a lot of sermons, we read the Bible, we learn stuff, but we don't actually know how to apply it to our culture, and neither do we know our culture very well. So this is really an attempt to do applied theology, right? Take what we learn and apply it. And recently, we were talking about, you know, some of you may remember Pahom Tolstoy's book about this person being drawn by his own greed and desire, and eventually he lost his life. Now, as Christians, the Bible tells us that we are constantly confronted with choices, in particular, two ways to live. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Enter by the narrow gate." Everyone say narrow gate. And by the way, can we have that on slides for the people? Yeah, great. So, enter by the narrow gate. There's a gate. There's a narrow gate. But then there's another gate. It says, "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. So there are two gates. There's a narrow gate and there's a wide gate, right? The narrow one, of course, is being narrow. It's a bit more difficult. The path is also difficult. But there's this wide gate. Now, human nature being human nature, we will always opt for the wide gate. Why not? It is easier. Nobody likes difficulty. But it goes on to say, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. So whenever we are confronted with this, we should not just cave into our instincts and just go the easy way, because the Bible says sometimes the hard way is the right way. Now, there's a book written about this, I guess, way. And if you are looking for a book to read during this COVID-19 season, here's a book. It's called, it's written by John Bunyan. It's called The Pilgrim's Progress. If you've not written it, it's a good book to read. It's a short book. Now, it talks about this fictional character, the pilgrim, who's a Christian, who's trying to find his way, make his progress, and become a good Christian, right? And eventually enter the kingdom of heaven. But along the way, as he tries to be a Christian, he runs into all kinds of temptations and obstacles and challenges that conspire to prevent him from keeping on that narrow path, right? Either to push him off, pull him off, some way or the other. He encounters sloth and laziness and legalism and hypocrisy and greed and all kinds of things. Eventually, he's kind of discouraged. He comes up against this mountain known as the Hill of Difficulty. And at this hill, in the book, he writes a poem, right? I'd like to read that poem to you as a kind of way of encouragement. And this being a poem, you know, the words sometimes sound a bit funny, but just bear with me. "The hill, though high, I covered to ascend." In other words, I want to climb. "The difficulty will not me offend, for I perceive the way to life lies here. Come, pluck up heart, let us neither faint nor fear. Better, though difficult, the right way to go, than wrong, though easy, where the end is woe." You know, this is a a poem of encouragement, telling us that, yes, it is difficult, but it is a right way. It will lead to a great reward, right? So when you are finding that you're confronted with an overwhelming culture that seems to be bent against the way of God, you should not be discouraged. In fact, you should. You know, the Bible tells you, it is a narrow way, all right? So I don't want you to be discouraged. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, don't be discouraged. That's great. Okay, we don't want to be discouraged. Pluck up your heart, okay? Heart, pluck up. Let's neither faint nor fear. Now, I believe most of us, we want to follow the Lord, even if it means going through the narrow gate and going along this narrow way. If we had our way, we would not drift from it. But the world and the devil is very cunning. He knows that if he cannot tempt us through our desires, which we have already talked about, he will find other means of getting us off that narrow way, if that were possible. Today, we want to talk about what some of these other ways will be, right? We talk about desire in the D. But today, we'll talk about other Ds, which is disinformation and the distortion of truth. In our culture today, we call this fake news, right? But it's not new news, you know? It is actually very old news. It's just that we call it a new name. Now, it's something that we've been warned about time and again. You see it plastered over the newspaper. You see it in your lift lobbies, you know? Everywhere you go, people are warning you against the dangers of fake news. But this thing that we call fake news used to be called something else. It used to be called deception and manipulation. And that is as old as the Bible itself. Within the Bible, you see many stories of deception. For instance, you have Jacob deceiving his father in order to get the blessing that belonged to Esau. And later on, you see Jacob himself was deceived by Laban, made him to work 14 years in order to marry Rachel, and so on and so forth, right? I mean, this is nothing new at all. It might appear to us as something quite novel and new. In fact, it is very, very old. And today we want to look at one particular passage of the Bible. There are many, but we just choose this one because, you know, it's helpful to gain some understanding about, you know, what is involved in all this and what the Bible says about how we can protect ourselves from some of these things. All right, so 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 5. The background of this story is in the life of David, at the very end of the life of David. He was very old at that point of time, right? So old that he already has very little idea of what's going on. And he's about to hand his kingdom over to his successor, which in his heart was going to be Solomon, right? So that he wanted to do that. But you know also that David had many wives, at least 6, if not more. And from all these different wives, he had children, many of whom were vying for the throne for various reasons. Famously, you would not have heard about Absalom, who tried to usurp the throne, end up, you know, getting killed in battle, right? So today, this passage is not about Absalom, but about Absalom's younger brother, Adonijah. Okay, Adonijah. So I'm going to read for you. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Okay, so this very ambitious family, all they want to be king, right? And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Then he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar the priest. And they followed and helped Adonijah. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Ray, and the mighty man who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. Then Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fattened cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by En-Rogel. He also invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, and the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the mighty man, and Solomon his brother, for obvious reasons. Then Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king? And David, our Lord, does not know it. Okay, this is K-drama material, right? So, you know, don't spend so much time watching K-drama. Bible is just as good, if not better, right? Read your Bible. Very exciting story, political intrigue and manipulation. Everything is there. Adonijah, he wanted to be king. And I guess he kind of knew that Solomon was actually David's choice, right? Which is why he strategically did not invite Solomon to the party. You think about it, read between the lines, you can see all the intrigue that's going on here. So what did he do? You know, in order to make himself king. Three things. He said, the Bible says he prepared for himself chariots, horsemen, and 15 men running before him. You can just imagine. That was quite a sight. This whole entourage of chariots and soldiers and all these things. You know, I mean, it's quite a scene. It's like your Chingay festival. A lot of things going on, right? It was creating quite the impression, quite the wave. So among those people, what is going on there? Wow, look at all this. Something amazing is happening, right? Look very official at the very least. Secondly, he recruited some influencers. You know influencers? Yeah, it's a new word for me, you know, last time. It's like, when we were growing up, there was no such thing as influencers. When we say influencers, it's probably bad influence or, you know, under the influence, right, of drugs and things like this. But influencers today refer to people who exercise some sort of influence, people like Xia Xue, Jamie Chua, and all these kind of people whom if you are, you know, on internet, you would know, oh, yeah, they're very influential. You don't know what kind of influence. But apparently, people follow them. They have many followers. So too in the Bible, it's not a new thing. Joab, he was the general of God David's army. So he had many followers. I guess you could say he was an influencer. Abiathar, he was the high priest. Well, surely he has people who were following him, so he has influencers. Adonijah was smart. He recruited influencers in order to help make his cause look more legitimate, more valid. Third thing he did, the Bible says he threw a big party, right? Sacrificed sheep, oxen, and fattened cattle. It's expensive. And he invited all the important people. It was a red carpet event, all sorts of things. So this whole thing, you got to understand, it was a pretty big deal. In a time when nothing much happened in Israel, this was, wow, something is happening. You know, people will talk about it. Did you hear? There was this great event. Oh, yeah, fantastic. I saw all the chariots and horses. And by the way, I shook hands with, Joab. You know, it was a pretty big deal. And he did all this to give the impression that he was the king, that this was supposed to look like the coronation event. In other words, So you're saying that Adonijah is now king? Namely, he tried to create the impression, right, that this was official, many people was on his side, it had this air of, legitimacy, because you had the general, you had the high priest. He tried to strengthen his position by, you know, currying the favor of all these important people that were invited to this red carpet event. All these things he did in order to look like the king. Except there was one problem. He wasn't the king. This is all fake news, right? This is fake news. Very similar to, you know, not that different from what you might, you know, get today. People do things, give certain impression, not really the case, but here is fake news. His aim was not these people that he recruited. His aim was actually to persuade the wider population of Israel who mostly did not know what was going on. All they knew was something happened. They would just follow along the sheep without shepherd, so to speak. And in many cases, such a thing would have worked. Such a ploy would have worked. Why? Because David was so old, he had no idea what was going on, right? But Nathan, the prophet, he saw through this ploy. He went and warned Bathsheba. Bathsheba went to tell David, and David, in his old age, had to come out and say, no, Solomon, right? And sent Solomon to be officially coronated as king by the well of Gihon, right? Gihon, by the well of Gihon. So the spring of Gihon. Okay, so what can we learn about fake news from this little rather interesting story? First of all, fake news is not new, right? It is really old stuff. But I tell you what is new. What is new is that today's fake news has a far wider reach and it goes faster and further than it ever could go before, right? I mean, you think about it, back in those days, the news had to go from mouth to ear, right? And then for someone else to go from mouth to ear, and so on and so forth. So it took quite a while to propagate. Not only that, you actually had to work quite hard to create fake news. Not easy to create fake news. I mean, look at Adonijah. In order to pull this off, he had to go through all this effort, you know, get the sacrifices, make quite a bit of personal investment to create this whole impression. Today, well, all you need is a handphone. You don't need to do anything, just write anything, and the more salacious it is, bam, it goes viral. Anybody can do it. So while fake news itself is not new, but the ease of which fake news can be generated is so much easier and goes so much further and so much faster. As a matter of fact, online, there are tools that can help you to generate fake news, right? There are some websites that help you generate for fun, for pranks, but sometimes you can't tell the difference between the prank and the real thing. Okay, so it is much faster, much wider because of the infrastructure of the internet and social media that we have today. Adonijah will have a field day. If he were living today, you know, he'll probably be hiring Xia Xuan. I guess maybe not him, but you know, all these famous people to do his bidding for him. Number two, fake news works by creating an appearance of truth, legitimacy, and consensus, right? It creates an appearance that this is official and this is accepted. And the reason why he went to do this is because he understood something about human nature. You see, most of us, when we are in a world and we encounter all sorts of different news and events and data, we usually do not have the bandwidth or energy or even the expertise to investigate thoroughly to know whether something is true or not. We are always told to do this, but in reality, it's very difficult because there's just too much going on and the amount of information is too many. For lay people like us, it can be quite difficult to really invest all the time and energy in order to just discern the truthfulness and the integrity of some bit of information that we might have had, right? So what do we normal human beings do? Normal people, how do you normally decide if something is real or not? How do we normally do that? Well, turns out very simple mechanism, right? Which is go with the majority. This is how we normally do it. Let's see what everyone else does. And actually, most of the time, it does work. Most of the time, it works, right? Imagine you're driving on a highway, right? Three lanes. Now, suddenly, two lanes just slow down to a crawl. The cars are barely moving, right? You can't. But then one more lane, the fast lane, is completely empty. So you're driving and you're asking yourself, which lane would you go? Will you choose the lane 1 and 2, which is full of cars, or lane 3, which is completely empty all the way? How many of you go lane 3? One or two. Not so normal people. Most people will think, there must be a reason why nobody's in that lane, right? Must be, right? So you go in a lane, no wonder, now I'm stuck, right? So you reckon that, I guess, there must be some wisdom in the masses. So you tend to follow the majority because there is safety in numbers. And the truth is, it does work. It does work. In many cases, this strategy can work. However, in today's world, it does not work because there are bad actors in our culture. There are people who are purposely poisoning the pool of information, purposely putting out disinformation in order to deceive. When that happens, you no longer can just follow the majority because you do not know whether that majority is real or not. How many of you have bought things on Alibaba, Taobao, and one of these things? You have, right? Especially Chinese thing. You always an iffy thing. You don't know whether when you click buy, whether it will actually come. Or, you know, some people, they bought something, wow, so cheap, but buy. Actually, what they got is a picture of the thing. Have you read about this thing? Yeah, this thing happens, right? So nowadays, you're going to buy something, you're thinking, let's see what the majority says, right? So you go to the site, you look at 99.974% positive approval. And actually what you really want to know is the 0.00% who didn't approve, why they said it. Because everybody got 99% approval, right? So this is sort of the way. Now, Adonijah, he understood this. In fact, purveyors of fake news, they understand that as humans, we don't always have the capacity or the willingness to investigate. So they are counting on David not knowing, on the people not realizing, to just kind of cut queue and get in. That's how fake news kind of works. It relies on somehow. And I guess sometimes we buy into these things without even realizing it. Let me ask you a question, and maybe it's something you learn when you're young, right? There's an ostrich in the savannah, right? Minding his own business. And now he sees a lion. Lion shows up. Ostrich sees lion. Lion sees ostrich. What does the ostrich do? Bury the head in the ground. Okay, that's what I thought too for the longest time. Until one day somebody came over, Pastor, actually ostriches don't do that. Now, when the person said this, it's like a bulb went up in my, turn on in my head. It's like, you know, now that you mention it, why would you bury your head in the sand? Because the lion will just eat your body first, all right? I mean, it's not going to, lion say, oh, it looks like a tree, I'm going to go elsewhere. It's not going to work, right? Secondly, have you wonder how difficult it is to dig a hole and put your head in there? It's just not very practical. I don't know why I never thought about that before. So I went and looked up, and you know what? Sure enough, you know what ostrich do when they see a lion? Like everyone else, they run. Right? You would have thought they run. But someone tells us they bury. You know, the only one who buried their head in the sand? That would be us, lah. Because we believe that story. Why do we believe this thing? Because apparently everyone seems to say it. Although nobody has seen the evidence or, you know, I Google, I try to see pictures. If there are there any ostriches that have their head buried in the sand? That would be quite a good photo, right? But no. So this is how, you know, people capitalize on our general, ignorance sometimes, or our willingness just to trust the group. And because of this, fake news has become incredibly successful. They're exploiting a weakness in what is otherwise a normal system for discerning truth. Okay, the third thing that we can learn from this is that fake news don't happen for no reason. Adonijah did not just do all that thing for fun, right? He wanted something. He wanted something from his target audience. He wanted to extract something. He wanted to manipulate them. There was something he wanted. And in every, almost in every situation, fake news is done in order to extract something from us, right? Either they want to get us to part with our money, sometimes to part with your information, your IC number, your passport number. You know, they want your information. Sometimes they want your telephone number. Other times they want to get your support behind a particular person or thing, get you to be a number into some cause that perhaps you personally might not even care all that much about. Other times they just want your click or your view or your subscription, right? In Adonijah's case, it was a political support that he was seeking. But in our world today, people want many, many things. They want you to support their cause. They want you to, well, very often they want your money, right? And many fake news has a reason. It wants something from you. Now, what does the Bible tell us about fake news and deception in general? Now, Paul writes to his disciple Timothy in 2 Timothy, right, chapter 1, 2, 3, a lot about fake news. So in chapter 3, he says, yes, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men, okay, behind this fake news are evil intentions. They are not innocent intentions. They are not just people having fun. They are people who have evil intentions. Evil men and imposters, well, there you have your fake news, will grow worse and worse. This was Paul writing in the early church, right? So you give it enough time, it has probably gone a lot worse. And we can see that it is true. Deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Of course, Paul here was speaking about a spiritual context, that if you're not careful, there'll be false teaching, heresies that come in, and it will rob you of your inheritance, right? But you must make truth your foundation, and truth in the sense of the Word of God, the Bible, make that your foundation. Now, is this true only of the secular world? Of course it's not. Even in the church, in the Christian world, there is a lot of fake news today. There's a lot of, sometimes heresy is a wrong teaching. And I understand that as lay people, it can be actually quite difficult to sort out the claims of one pastor from the allegations of another pastor. Is actually not easy. Today, there are all kinds of wild ideas floating out there. From, you know, the Bible code, some of you may even be familiar with that, read that, how you can rearrange the, you know, the words of the Bible in such a way that you can get predictions of the future, to secret ways to activate special blessing, you know, to activate your personal angels, to open up portals of glory, to teleportation. I spoke to a particular Christian who told me that he actually believed in teleport. In fact, he told me he was teleported from Texas to Sydney one day, and he went there to preach the gospel. I asked him, do you go alone? Oh no, his grandmother was teleported with him, right? So it was a two-ticket flight. He went there and he was there for a little while. He shared the gospel, and after that he was teleported right back. And I was thinking, wow, that would be really handy in this COVID-19 time. You know what I mean? No need SHN, just bam, you're there already, right? Although you probably won't go to Sydney right now. You know, I mean, you think about it, we have a Israel trip. Why don't we just teleport? You know what? They quote the Bible. Like, look at Philip, huh? After evangelizing to the eunuch, he was taken up and showed up in Azotus. Well, you know, they have a semblance of truth to it. They are able to quote verses. By the way, the Bible tells us that the devil knows is able to quote scripture very well as well, right? So we have people like that. There are people who believe that there are apostles who lived for 500 years and they met them at an airport in Dubai, of all places. You know, these weird types of things. People who believe that the Bible talks about aliens, UFO, dangers of 5G. And of course, beyond the Bible, there are people who believe that the earth is in fact flat. They are actually quite serious about it. I thought it was a joke. You know, laugh, they get very offended. People who believe that the moon landing was false. All sorts of stuff going on out there. And Paul is saying, this will only get worse, right, with time. Now, let me ask you. How many of you have ever received a phone call that goes something like this? Oh, by the way, this is DBS Bank calling you that you have not paid such and such and such a thing. If you don't do so, it's very important. You know, there's some message there. 请按三, you know, please press 3. How many of you have received such a phone call? Let me just see your hand. Look at this. Practically everybody has received it. Practically everybody. This is how prevalent this matter is, right? I don't know about you. I always un-E, right? Because they want me to press 3. I'm just kind of that kind of person, right? Turns out that every time I press 3, it disconnects immediately. So sometimes I will press 1, it disconnects. I always press 3 now, and then I leave the phone there. Hello? Wait. Hello? Hello? Because I know when it's talking to me, it's not scamming some other people, see? So, you know, this is just one of those things, right? I mean, and my wife knows that I like to do this. That, shh, don't say anything. Just listen to that. Okay. Not suggesting that you should do anything like that. But, you know, we are living in a world where this, nobody is spared. Everybody is touched by this thing. As many of which are outright scams. And by the way, you might wonder, since everyone knows it, why do they keep doing it? Well, first of all, it costs them very little to do it. They are targeting ignorant people. They are targeting mostly the older folks. This is what happened. By the way, in our church, we have people who have lost great sums of money to some of these scams, right? Or given away their bank information, their personal information. And as your pastor, I don't want to see this happen. So I asked myself, is it relevant to talk about this in church? I say, absolutely yes. Because God is concerned for our community. Amen. Right, so this is an important thing. I want you to be, you know, alert so that you will not fall into the snares of the devil and be discouraged. Okay, so, you know, both spiritually and secularly, there are all kinds of fake news going on. So how can we protect ourselves? You know, what does the Bible say about some of the things that we can do to protect ourselves from falling into this kind of deception? So in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far away from you. So the first thing, actually there are two things here, but the first thing it says is that you need to guard your hearts. Fake news works because the purveyors of fake news know how to tap into the matters of your heart. They know what triggers you. They know what gets your attention. They know what you want. So they're able to capitalize and exploit your desires, your fears, your concerns, your anxieties in order to draw you into this thing, right? Very often to manipulate your emotions. So the first thing the Bible says, we have to guard our hearts. When, you know, something comes across as being too good to be true, probably not true. You know this kind of wisdom, right? If it's too good, you know, if you don't click, you have been selected out of 1 million people to get this special offer of 60% and only have the next 20 minutes to click. Then you're, wow, I'm so lucky. Actually, you're very bad. You're going to be a victim, right? They're probably saying the same thing to everybody. But they know. Some words cannot resist a deal, you know. Any percent, once they see the word percentage, they must buy already. You know, I know some of you are like that, right? Others, they know your fear. They make news. Shocking news. Using toothpaste causes cancer. Huh? Really? I brush my teeth 3 times a day. But if you get this organic toothpaste, although it makes your teeth green, you won't get cancer. Buy now and you get one pack. This is stuff. This is all different degrees of fake news. They know how to tap into your fears. The headlines are designed to get your attention, right? Unbelievable revelation. And then they don't tell you what it is, so you click, you've got to find out what it is, right? Right? All those people who have this trait are going to live shorter. Wow, really? What trait? Don't know. Click. So these are all clickbait. They know exactly how to tap into your... The Bible says, guard your heart. In other words, don't allow yourself to be drawn to this thing emotionally. Don't react. Anytime you find yourself getting upset or unsettled by these things, just hit the pause button. Don't have to read one, you know. Long before internet came along, we all lived happily before that, right? So you hit a pause, maybe talk to some people with more level-headed insight to these things. You know, get people to help you to stabilize, all right? Stop reacting emotionally to everything you hear. Or even allegations. Unbelievable. The minister just did this thing that you must see. I don't know why they must say this thing. Why just say the thing? But no, this thing, because they want you to click, you see? And of course, you click, then it's one page and another page and more advertisements and so on and so forth. So this happens. Now, we also know ourselves. We have an unhealthy, unhealthy interest in all things controversial and salacious, isn't it? Some juicy stories, some terrible stories, some scandalous stories. We all like this kind of things, you know? These things draw us into sometimes all kinds of unnecessary disputes and debates with different people. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, Paul says, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Right? Avoid it. Knowing that they generate strife. Some of these fake news can lead us into situations where you end up quarreling with your brothers, your sisters, your family members even. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So the devil uses this, I guess, things, information, disinformation, to take captive our minds to do his bidding, even that we don't want to do it, but now we are being used, right? You're being used to do this. So we should avoid this. And it's funny how emotional sometimes we can be. You know, during the last election in the United States, Biden versus Trump, this was an incredibly polarizing event in the US, right? And entire families have been split depending on whether you vote red or you vote blue. Nobody votes green anyway, right? So, over there, you have parents no longer talking to their children. They have husbands and wives split up, all because of this thing, which is incredibly painful to see. But you know what's even more amazing? I found some of my Singaporean friends also divided over this matter, very, very angry about it. And the worst thing is that these people don't care about Singapore elections, I know. They only care about US elections. I wonder why. Why are you so invested in that? You know why? Because every day they're consuming that news. Every day they're hammering. And guess what? You don't think it will have an effect on you if you read it every day? Let me tell you, it will have an effect on you. Right? So, Bible says guard your hearts. But it doesn't just say guard your heart. It goes on to say you need to guard your mouth as well. Now, what does it mean to guard the mouth? Right? We know that the mouth is, I guess, it is the organ of gossip. Right? We like to spread gossip. Except today, our mouths are all masked up. We can't gossip. So, if the proverb were to be written today, it would say, guard your keyboard. Guard your handphone. Because you know what? Nowadays, you don't need to use mouth to gossip. All you got to do is hit forward. Right? some interesting thing come in. You don't know, you just forward lah. Forward to my best friend, forward to my pastor, forward to, I get a lot of these things, by the way, right? Lots of people, it's good for me because I know what you guys are reading, which is some very unhelpful stuff. But I get a lot of this stuff. People are forwarding everything to one group or another. I read this sermon, this pastor said that. So all these things are floating everywhere. Sometimes I ask them, have you checked whether this is true? I don't know, I just forward only. This is like their occupation, I just forward only. I'm like postman like that, you know. I don't read the mail, I just pass along the mail. That is not good. The Bible says, not only do you want to prevent yourself from becoming a victim of all this stuff, neither do you want to become the instrument of passing it on, right? So I suggest to you, unless you know it's absolutely correct, don't just forward it. Right? Don't just forward it. Right? So, I guess that's part of anchoring ourselves in a culture of truth rather than just passing on news. Because many times this news is false or, in fact, outright wrong. Secondly, stand in the counsel of many. Okay, so first, guard your hearts, guard your mouth, right? Secondly, stand in the counsel of many, right? Talk to other leaders who are able to give you insight. Don't just believe every allegation, every bit of news that you hear. Be reasonable. Reserve your judgment until after you've checked stuff. And in a book of Acts, there's this very interesting incident. Paul is going around to new places, talking to new people, preaching his message. And this is the Apostle Paul, right? And in Acts chapter 17, he comes across a group of people called the Bereans. And this is what it says in Acts 17. It says, they were more fair-minded, more level-headed, if you like, than those in Thessalonica. I don't know about the Thessalonians. Maybe they are more emotional, right? But these guys, they were, okay, let's think about that. That's a point. No, they were level-headed about it. In that, they received the word with all readiness, and they searched scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. This was coming from Paul. Wow, St. Paul say one, sure right one. No, for them, doesn't matter who says it, right? Doesn't matter how many titles you have, how many alphabets you have before and after your name. They said, whatever you say, they will search scripture. We call this fact-checking today, right? And it's something, unfortunately, we have to do. You know, there was a time when, you know, most people were relatively honest and you could take things at face value. Unfortunately, that time is long gone. We're living in a world today where, unfortunately, for better or worse, we will have to do quite a bit of fact-checking. And some of the sites that we use for fact-checking are themselves probably not very reliable. Even Snopes and all these very left-leaning sites. So certain kind of news, they were just twisted to make it sound a certain way. But we do need to do a bit of fact-checking. First of all, when it comes to Christian stuff, because you are getting all kinds of sermons and teachings we are forward to you, some of which are very unreliable, very questionable stuff, you need to fact-check it. Talk to other leaders that you know, right? Consult with them. Don't make up your opinion so quickly. Check the Bible. Read the Bible for yourself. Ask yourself, is this something that Jesus would have done, right? So, very important. And we need to make truth an important part of our culture, meaningfulness. And don't just say things, anything, whatever, the pastor just said. No, think about it. Hold your pastor to account. And hold me to account. If I say something wrong, tell me, and I'll check. Sometimes I'll say, you know what, you're right. You know, I was wrong about this thing, right? I mean, there was a couple of months back, I remember I was walking to the car park, and it was raining very heavily, so I had to take the corridor, and the corridor was quite narrow. In this corridor, I was going up, there were several people with me going, but coming on the opposite way, there were two elderly persons, one man and one woman. The man was on the right, the woman was there. They were walking abreast, side by side. So they're occupying the whole corridor. I was walking, I see them coming. You know, in my mind, I was ticking away. I was saying, how should I pass them? Should I walk in the middle, but not so nice, because maybe the husband and wife, I don't want to, you know, split anybody. The Bible says, men should not put asunder, right? So, but should I walk on the left side, but woman, I don't want to, you know, maybe I should go to. So I was making all these important life decisions, right, about how to get past these people. So as I decided I'm going to go to the left, so I started to steer slowly to the left, you know, hoping that they will go to the right. You know what I mean? I'll go to my right, he'll go to his right, and we can happily pass. But no, he kept just walking like I wasn't doing. So I do it more extreme. Now I was like right up against the wall, you know, going like this. He was still the same until he came right up to me and he stopped. And he had this, young man, don't you know in Singapore, the law is to walk on the left. First of all, I'm like, huh? Got such a law, man? Right? Walk on the left. And I was about to say, by Malaysian, anyhow, you know? So I, in my mind, I was thinking things like, don't you know the law is ladies first, right? So the lady go, then you should go. Lah. But I wanted to argue with him. Corner, I was a little offended by him. I think I remember, you know, in church we always say, I is for what? Ignore offenses, right? Okay, then so don't react emotionally. Ignore offenses. Don't have to say your piece. Don't have to argue. Don't have to be correct. Don't have to prove yourself correct. Ignore offenses. You say, yeah, actually, what for? Lah, eh? I argue with you. You're not happy. I'm not happy. God is not happy. Let's just move on. So, okay, you go whichever way you want, left, right. I just stand here until you go. So he did go, and I went my way, right? I told this. And then yesterday, someone sent me, hey, pastor, look at this Straits Times articles. It is the law to walk on the left. I didn't know. It's not the law. It is a convention now to walk on the left. Say, you know what? I stand corrected. Right? You see, these are all the dynamics of fake news. Sometimes we all think we are correct. Maybe because we just don't know something. Other times we are just reacting emotionally. It doesn't even matter whether you are right or wrong. You just want to be right, because you're offended, right? So I think when we look at this whole thing, you know, fact-checking is very important, but it's also important for us to check our own attitudes. Not just check the facts, but to check ourselves in this. Third of all, we should gain some wisdom, right? Understanding and wisdom. Simply because, actually, fake news is not new. It's the same old thing, repackaged over and over and over again. The amazing thing is, we keep falling for it over and over and over again. I don't know how many of you have ever received an email that said, I am a Nigerian prince, and I've come into inheritance of £24,000, and I feel like I want to give you £1.2 million. You can redeem this straight away, except in order to get the bank to release it to you, you have to send me $200. I'm like, why don't you just take the $200 out of the £1.2 million that I'm about to inherit? Oh, sorry, you can't do that. You must give me $200 before I give you. You know, you just sit down and think, some people, wow, I'm so lucky. Because you know why? These people are real. You Google, they really are those names, you see. And I'm thinking, do I really want £1.2 million that's not mine? You know, all this greed. Okay, check yourself. Check the facts, check yourself, all right? But gain understanding. Know how these ploys work. They are always the same thing. They promise you something that's probably too good to be true, right? And you are greedy enough to fall for it, right? So don't fall for it. Have some understanding. There's no such thing as a free lunch, right? Even Jesus died on the cross, not free. Cost him everything, right? So I think we should understand ourselves a little bit. And some of you will say, well, but these are from some pastors. Same thing lah. You know, I mean, if something is promising you incredible solutions, very high chance that there's some fidgeting going on, all right? So be a little bit, have some healthy skepticism as you go about the internet. The last thing, we need to have humility. As I was just sharing the story just now, right? We can't always avoid being deceived, because there's just really a lot of information out there. Sometimes, provisionally, you will just accept something, and later you might discover that there's something that you provisionally accept is wrong. And at that point, you must be humble enough to be corrected, to be teachable. And I found that a lot of people today have a problem admitting that they are wrong or that they don't know something. Maybe it has to do with this whole culture of appearing in a certain way to people. I'm always very happy to tell people, you know, actually, I don't know. A lot of people ask me questions like, Pastor, when you go to heaven, will God do this? Will God do that? I say, actually, you know, I don't know. I never go to heaven yet, man. You ask God, lah, you know. I mean, I'm happy to tell you. I don't have to pretend like I know things and say things as if I knew it when I actually didn't know it. Unfortunately, in the world today, there are many people who happily will tell you things that they actually don't know as if they knew it, right? And then we might be innocently or naively believing them. But we ourselves must be humble enough to stand corrected, to allow other people to correct us. And this is really a big problem. See, fake news is not just a problem about the news. It's also a problem about us and our own character in dealing with this sort of things, right? We know that in the end times, people will become more and more stubborn. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 also, it says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous time will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. So important today, right? Having self-control. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, right? That's your stubbornness. haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from these people, turn away. I have nothing to do with these kind of people. So in summary, fake news is a very real problem today, right? You might think that, oh, the Bible doesn't talk about fake news. It does. Deception is a very real problem today. It's just that it's taken this particular form that we are dealing with. And it is not a new one, right? Christians, as Christians, we need to learn how to be more discerning as we live in this culture so that you are not easily led astray. Right? Stay on that narrow path. Don't let someone draw you into some broad way that leads to destruction. To do so, we can start by guarding our hearts and guarding our mouths, right? Don't just react emotionally to everything. Gain counsel from others, other Christians, more established people, wiser people in your midst. Talk to them, right? Talk to several people. Don't just talk to one person. Talk to several people. Pray about it. Ask God for spiritual discernment in addition to just natural discernment. Both are needed. Have some understanding of how the world works, right? Have some understanding. And not just for yourself, by the way. Do so also for the sake of your older parents who very often fall for these things more easily. My mother-in-law gave her numbers, bank account number to certain people, right? And they're very worried. Even if nothing happens, they're going to have to cancel their card and so on and so forth. Very troublesome thing. So on their behalf, and on behalf of those people around you who might not have this kind of insight, but above all, maintain a humble and a teachable and a peaceable attitude. Very important, in this very contentious, very easily triggered world where everyone's angry about something, you know, this position or that position. Remember, what you're guarding are the relationships with one another and your relationship with God. That's what you're really guarding. Sometimes people allow those other things to become more important than their relationship with God, more important than their relationship with one another. That's really losing sight of things, right? So easy, once you get sucked into one of these tunnels, that small thing become bigger and bigger until it just envelops every part of your life. Nothing else is important. So make sure that, you know, you don't allow this. You see, the problem with fake news is that when you get so absorbed in fake news, you're ultimately distracted from good news, from real news that God wants you to have, right? From being living fruitful lives. You become so engaged in chasing this thing, chasing your tail round and round and round. And it muddies the water for truth that is coming your way. So after a while, you just can't even know what is what, right? And it discourages us because people get hurt, people get divided, people lose things. Ultimately, it stops us from living fruitful lives. So my prayer for you is that you'll be discerning. As a church, we'll grow in discernment. Of course, we'll stumble here and there, but you know, we want to together get better at this, help one another out in this. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, that your law concerns every part of life because your love and your concerns touches every aspect of our living. And today, Lord, we want to bring our community before you. We ask for a spirit of discernment for us not to be so easily snared by the schemes of the evil one and of evil men in the world today. We pray for wisdom and for insight and pray for godly counsel amongst our community here. We pray for a spirit of looking out for one another's back. When we see people, you know, falling for certain things, we will actually speak up and help them to see the light. Above all, Lord, we pray that we will not become instruments of deception and used by the evil one for his purposes. Rather, we will be used by you to be a light unto this dark world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.